Hey Adar, Monday the 16th of March, Rabbi Yosef Grunfeld, Parshas HaChodesh.
As you've just heard, this week is Parshas HaChodesh, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, Rosh HaChodoshim. So there are two mitzvahs in this pasuk. First one is the idea that Nisan should be counted as the first of the calendar month, which means that we should always be referring back, as the Ramban says, we should always be referring back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Nisan informs, as it were, the rest of the year. That's the first mitzvah. The second mitzvah is, of course, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, where Beis Din have to be Mekadosh Levona, and from there we have the dates of the Yom Tovim, etc., etc. That's the second mitzvah, and it's possibly the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, which is, of course, rather strange when you think of Knan Yisrael as becoming the nation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the first sort of mitzvah which is given to them as nationhood. The first mitzvah they're given is Kiddush HaChodesh. We would have expected maybe some other kind of mitzvah. It's rather an obscure mitzvah to start Klal Yisrael off with. So I want to give you some ideas, which I heard many, many years ago from my good chaver and colleague, Rabbi Todrus Miller, who usually speaks in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro, to tell you the significance of this HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. Avraham Avinu, when he stood in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and pleaded for Sodom. So he says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hinei no ha'alti ledaber, I've spoken enough. V'anoichi ofo v'efa, and I am nothing, as it were. Who am I to speak and to plead in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam? I have no rights to plead on behalf of Sodom. I'm nothing. It's interesting to see the terminology which Avraham Avinu uses. Ofo vo'efer. I am dust and ashes. Is there any significance in these words, dust and ashes? And to understand that, we have to turn to a famous, which is the Haftorah of actually of that week's Sedra, the famous story of the Isha Achas Minashay V'nei Hanavim. She was an Isha Achas, one of the wives of B'nei Hanavim. Rashi already brings the Chazal that she was the wife of Ovadio. And Soaka El Elisha Leimoy. She cried to Elisha saying, Avdecha Ishi Meis, my husband has died. Va'ati Yodatu Ki Avdecha Yoyore Es Hashem. He feared the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'hanoshe, my creditor, who's lent on ribis, bo lo kaches eshnei yolodai loy la'avodim. He wants to take my two children, my two sons, as servants, as collateral for this debt, and I can't pay up. So what did Elisha say to her? Said, ma yesh loch babayis, what do you have in your house? And she said, all she's got is a small jug of oil. So Elisha says, L'chisha li loch kelim min hachutz, ask for kelim, ask for vessels, reis kol shchenayich, kelim reikim, ask for empty vessels. And he tells her to collect as many empty vessels as she can. And then he tells her to pour from this one flask of oil, and to pour into all these vessels. Yotzakta al kol hakein o'eila, and then he says something very strange. He says, "V'hamole tasi'i." The full barrel you should put aside. In other words, what should you do? How should you fill the barrel? Let's say she had 20 barrels or 30 barrels, which she collected from her neighbors. So he says you should bring the barrel to the jug, fill it up, then "V'hamole tasi'i," remove the barrel, and then fill the next one, and then fill the next one. Bring the barrels to the jug, and then fill them up one by one, and then remove them again. Question is, that's a very impractical way of filling the jugs. If I would have given this issue advice, I would have told her to line up the barrels and to take the jug and pour. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the simplest way to do it. We'll just have to schlep in the barrel, fill it up. Now you've got a full barrel and you've got to put it to the side and then do the same thing, the next one and the next one. That's a very strange way of doing it. Yet, Elisha said, V'hamole tasi. And you know who asked this kasha? Rashi. Rashi asks this kasha, and he says the following. He doesn't ask it as a kasha, but he presumes a kasha. Says Rashi, L'fisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oisehu Kamayon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this jug of oil as a mayon, as a spring. V'ein derech l'mayon lozuz mimkoimoy. It's not the derech of a mayon, when you have a never-ending source of water, you don't cut the water off and bring it to you, you go to the source. It's a never-ending source, so you go back and you go back and you go back and you back. Don't know if you've ever seen a mine. A mine is a wondrous thing. It's a wonderful thing. Have any of you ever been to Ein Gedi? Yeah, have you walked up there to Ein Gedi? Most people don't walk up to the top. Most people walk to a waterfall, and then they go down again. So I trek to the top, and at the very top, you walk a bit further top, and there you see the mine of Ein Gedi. It's just unbelievable. In a barren, incredible, harsh desert, there you see this marvellous cool pool of water, and you can actually see the spring, which is bubbling up and filling this. It's a wondrous thing, a mayan. And a mine is a never-ending source. You don't cut off a mine and bring it to you. You go to the mine and you refill and you refill. It's a never-ending source. So what Elisha was saying to the Isha was that you should know that you are receiving a never-ending source of, you've got your own private Hanukkah miracle. This jug of oil is a never-ending source of oil. It's a miracle. Why did it stop? It's fascinating. The pasuk actually says, "Vayhi kimlois hakelim, vatoymel b'no hagisha elai oid keli, bring me another keli." Vayomer leo, and he said to her, "Ain oid keli. There's no keli left." Vayam oid hashomen, and the oil stopped. Vice versa, there would have been another keli, and another keli, and another keli. It would have gone on and on and on and on. It's only because there was no keli left. But the Yamat HaShomen. So she had a never-ending source of oil. That's a mayon. If that's a mayon, then you go to the mayon. The mayon doesn't come to you. So she had to take every single barrel and bring it to the kli. So Rashi says, so said Rav Moshe Shapiro that when Avraham Avinu was standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's standing in front of a never-ending source of Chochmah. When you stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're standing in front of a Mayon HaChochmah. If you're standing in front of a Mayon HaChochmah, it's never-ending, it's never-ending. It's a Chochmah which you can get from the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's never-ending, the Torah is never-ending. And therefore, he describes himself as Ofer and Efer. Efer represents something which once was, which isn't there anymore. And Ofer, yes, that's ashes. Ofer represents something, earth is potential. Earth is potential. There's constant nutrients in the earth which provides growth, constant growth. So he was saying that when I stand in front of you, whatever I have already is like nothing in comparison with what can still be. Because I'm in front of the Mayon HaChochmah. In front of the Mayon HaChochmah, it's always Eif and Ofer, Eif and Ofer, Eif and Ofer. Because whatever I've learned is nothing in comparison to what that can still be learned. And therefore, that is, Avraham Avinu is sort of describing himself as a Yid. That is actually the definition of a Yid. The definition of a Yid, as all the Baal Em Musa say, is to be a Hoylech. It's to be in a state of constant growth. You can never stand still, because there's always more to know, there's always more to learn. And that's the first sivui which Avraham Avinu received from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lech Lecho. Lech Lecho is the kind of ringing, what's the word I'm looking for? clarion call. Oh. Oh, took a long time, but I got it at the end. It's the ringing clarion call of the Jew. Lech lecho, I'm a constant hoylech. The greatest obstacle to being a hoylech is routine and complacency. That's the greatest obstacle. The Pasuk tells us, Ki soilad bonim uvnei bonim. If you will, Bonim Shalom wants Klai Yisrael. You'll have children and grandchildren. Vnei shantem ba'oretz. As they translate, you will wax as old in the land. Good old-fashioned translation. You will wax as old in the land. Haidois lechem of atavedim, you will be destroyed. You'll come to the state of botim, meleim, koltuv, kromim, vezesim, vochalta, vesevota, you'll have it good. You'll be complacent. Hishom elecho, pentishkach, as Hashem lakecha, sheatziachom, meetz misraim, yubes avodim. When things are good, you get complacent, you get into routine. Routine is very, very dangerous. Because then you become complacent, and there's no more hoylech, you stand still, because you're used to it. It's very, very interesting. V'noshantem ba'oret. You will wax as old in the land. Yoshon is old. You've got the same root in Hebrew, Yoshen. Yeah? As we've read alt, mishloft. Routine. You're used to it. Shlofma. You've lost the reasons to be a halichas. Very interesting. The letter in the Zohar, which is represented for the Yetzer Hara, is a samach. Sitra Achem is a samach. Samach is always the letter which represents the Yetzer Hara. And the reason is... Samuel. That's right, Samuel. Samuel. And the reason is because of predictability. Let me explain to you what I mean. If I would, watch me here. I'm about to draw for you a rectangle. Can you see this? I'm drawing you a rectangle. Here goes my horizontal line. Can you tell me when I'm going to go vertical? There's no way you can know. I can make the rectangle as long or as short as I like, and then I'll go down vertically. You can't predict when I will go down to make a rectangle. When I begin a circle, you can finish it off immediately. If I begin like this, I go round, you can finish off the circle. A circle represents predictability. And predictability, when things are predictable, and you know exactly what's going to be, and it goes out round and round and round and round. Before you know it, you're into a state of an ashantan ba'oret, umenschloft. It's very interesting. I don't know who first worked it out, but if you look at the words, the following words, teva, matbea, and taba'as. Interesting. Teva is nature. Matbea is a coin. Tabas is a ring. Now in Hebrew, if you've got a common root, then there has to be a common denominator. In English or any other language, language is arbitrary. This is a table, T-A-B-L-E. There's nothing intrinsic in the word table which tells you it's a table. In the word chair, C-H-A-I-R, there's nothing intrinsic in the words or the letters chair which tells us a chair. I could have called this, here, this thing here, this piece of flat wood with stands on, I could have called that a chair. If everybody would agree to call this table a chair, wouldn't we call it a chair? There's nothing intrinsic in the word table which makes it into a table. In Hebrew, the letters have a meaning, the roots have meanings, and therefore if you have teva, tabas, and matbea, all one, then there must be something in common. And what is in common is that they're all round. Teva is nature. It goes round and round and round and round. It's a cycle. So you have summer, autumn, winter, spring, just about to finish the winter and going into spring, this goes round and round and round and round. Pardon? Yeah, I don't know about that. It's a good one. Yeah? Tabas is a ring, which is round. Matbea is a coin, which is usually round. So the idea is that you've got this common denominator. And it's very interesting that the Goyim, they follow the solar system. Yes? And the solar system is Teva. That is Teva. Summer, winter, autumn, spring goes round and round and round. The word Shona has its common root with Shinantam Levanecho. You teach your children over and over and over and over again. So the concept of Shona is the idea of repetition. Repetition is very, very dangerous. When you repeat and you repeat and you go round and round and round, you're in danger of a Neshanta Ba'oretz. Neshantam Ba'oretz. And that was Egypt at the time. Egypt at the time was mamish, a typical Neshantam. Here's the pasuk from Yechezkel. The pasuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misnabeh through Yechezkel. Gives the following nevuah. He says, "B'shono al-siri, b'shnei mosa lachodesh, in the 10th year, on the 12th day of the month, hoyadva Hashem eilai leimer, koyama Hashem elakim." So says Hashem elakim, "Hinani olecha paroi, you will be punished, paroi, melech Mitzrayim. Hatanin hagodol, horoyvetz b'toich yorov, he's roivetz, he crouches in his Nile, asher oma." What does Paro say? Li ya'iri va'ani asisini. Li ya'iri, the Nile is mine. Absolute confidence. He's got the Nile, most powerful economy in the world, he's got the Nile. Li ya'iri va'ani asisini. And I made myself. The machzich got into Geshka. Makes himself to a god. Such a fellow has nowhere to go. He's arrived. He's got nowhere to go. That's why Mitzrayim is called Meitzah. Meitzah is your restraint in borders. Can't break out. You're so self-satisfied, you're so complacent, that you have nowhere to go. That's Mitzrayim. The Hakdama to Yetzias Mitzrayim, which Klal Yisrael needed to hear, was HaChodesh HaSeh Lachem, you're coming out of the Meitzah of Mitzrayim, and you're going into the world of Chiddush. The moon, as it were, waxeth and waneth. You see Chiddush in the moon. The symbolism of the moon is Chiddush. It waxes and it wanes. And the idea of Klal Yisrael getting out of Mitzrayim and moving towards, in a lech lecha way, towards Matan Torah, we're talking about Chiddush. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Remember, we don't go by a Shona over and over and over again. We go via Levona, which is a concept and a symbol of Chiddush. We never stand still, because we, Klal Yisrael, are the people who stood at Sinai and stood in front of the Mayon HaChochma, as Avraham Avinu did, our ancestor did, so many years ago. Bikish Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. That's not for Klal Yisrael. Leishev v'shalva, yeshiva, that's not for Klal Yisrael. Umoysha b'nei Yisrael b'eretz Mitzrayim, dalet meyaz shona. That was enough. The Moysha b'nei Yisrael was enough. Now we have to get out of Meitzah of Mitzrayim and go into a concept of Chiddush and Lech Lecha and Matan Torah. I want to show you how far the danger of routine goes. There's another pasuk in Yechezkel, and it's a halacha. Uvavor am ha'oretz lifnei Hashem. When Klal Yisrael come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'moyadim, doing Yom Tov, habo derech shar tzofoin. Somebody who enters the northern gate, Lishtachavos, to bow down, Yetzei Derech Shah HaNegev. He should go out via the southern gate. Vabo Derech Shah HaNegev, and somebody goes out, or comes in, via the southern gate, Yetzeh Derech Shaar Tzafona should exit the Beis HaMikdash via the northern gate. Loi Yoshuv Derech Asher Bo Boi. He may not exit via the gate which he entered. Ki Nichachoi Yetzeh. He should go out via the opposite gate. And in Akedas Yitzchok, gives the reason. Incredible. He says, you know what? He says, if you go out of the same gate, I've been there before. Been there, done it. How you say it? Got the t-shirt, how do you say it? Yeah? Now, how many times did Klal Yisrael come up to Yerushalayim? You're talking about three times a year, so there's six entries and exits. If you go out the same way as you came in, you lose the chiddush of coming to the Beis HaMikdash. You've been through that gate already. You lose the chiddush six times, and you lose the chiddush. Because I'll say twice, you do a chet twice, and it's really nice to look at it. Yeah? But six times is already, what you got, is already too much. And therefore, ki nichachoy yetzem, it's taken the gel halacha. The Mishnah Berurah, or the halacha in halacha in Simen Kuf Mem Aleph, Siv Zion, the halacha is, ha'oyla tzorech loredes bepesa shekenegdoi. Says the Mishnah Berurah, when you go up for an aliyah, you have to go down the opposite side. And the Mishnah Berurah brings, and Siv Kot L'chof Hei, das mechua aposot yecheskel, dechsiv, Delayoshuv derech hashah asher bo boy ki nechecha yetzeh. So it's nageh la'alocha. I've been up this way, we're going up to the Torah. Going up to the Torah, aliyah la'Torah. Daf zayin elech lecha, go down the other way, keep the chiddush, go down the other side. It's halocha. The Jewish nation are always moving towards the Mekoyah HaBrocha and to the Mayan HaChachmah. Leich teich acharai bamidbo. After Matan Torah, where's the Mekoyah HaBrocha? Where's the Mayan? So the Mayan and the Mekoyah HaBrocha always manifests itself, as the Kabbalists say, in Mokim, in Shona, and in Nefesh. Place and time and within ourselves, you'll find the Mayan HaChachma. So when it comes to place, when it comes to the Mokum, so we come to the Beis HaMikdash, Aliyah the Beis HaMikdash, it says, V'kamto v'oliso. V'kamto v'oliso. Get up, move. That's in Mokum. When it comes to Zman, Shabbos is Zman when we can have an Aliyah. Likras Shabbos, L'chu v'ne'elcho. L'chu v'ne'elcho. We go towards the Shabbos. Lech lecho. Movement, an upward movement. And it comes to nefesh, ourselves. Yeilech etz l'talmid chochem says, take of the talmid chochem brocha. When you come near, the Mekoyah brocha is the talmid chochem. Says, agra the pirka riata. The reward of learning is riata when you run to the Beis HaMedrash. You run to the Beis HaMedrash. You run to the Beis HaMedrash. Again, the idea of chiddush, no routine, I'm going to learn something new, I run to the shir, I run to the Beis HaMedrash. The reward for the shir is the running towards the shir. The Gemara tells us that Abimi Mesechas Yakalei. Abimi forgot a Mesechta. For Osa Kamei the Rav Chista, and he went to learn the Mesechta to Rav Chista. Frank, the Gemara of Elisa Lagabe, it seems Rav Chista was greater than Abim was greater than Rav Chista, and so Rav Chista should have gone to Abimi to teach him the Masechta. Says the Gemara, Sova Hochi Mistaya Milsa Tefei. Abimi felt, I'll get the Masechtas better if I go to Rav Chista. I'll go to Rav Chista, I'll chap the Masechtas better. Always the Kochum of Lech Lecha. There's a marvelous story about dying. Dain Abramsky was once walking along a road, and he was on the opposite side of the road, and he suddenly saw Dain Abramsky. So he ran over to Dain Abramsky, and he said to him, "Oh, mamish min hashamayim, simon hashamayim, chagahat hashverikai. I have a kasha, I have a shayla alocha, I want to ask you a shayla, maybe you can answer for me. So Dayan Abramsky stood erect and he said the following. He said, oh, das getroffen der Rav. Uh-huh. Oh, marvelous, mamish min hashamayim. Arov treft me nicht, zu Arov geht man. I couldn't talk. You hear? Oh, I happen to be the Rav. Oh, you can answer my Shaila. And it didn't bren before, the Shaila didn't bren before. Lech lecho. That's HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem. HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem, Rosh Chodoshim. That's the beginning of Klal Yisrael as a nation. Nation begins with Chilush. And that's the month of Nisan, that's the month of Yisrael Mitzrayim. That's when we went out of Mitzrayim, that's when we became a nation. And now it's 9 o'clock, and therefore I wish you all a gewaltige, gewaltige Yom Tov, one of Chiddush, of inspiration, Habir Skoyev Tzedek, Mehevi Meinu Amen.